Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFA Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us by a talkcast every Thursday starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone to dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions of call ID 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for Quality 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call or SFU On Call. You will find this there. But if you want the best experience on the web, go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call. That's right, twitch.tv/SFU On Call. You will find us there. You'll see the wonderful video stream. You also talk to the wonderful people in the chat room. So that's the place to go. Now, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to, you can follow me. Just follow my podcast account, sfuoncall, on Twitter if you want to, if you're still there. My personal account is also Paul Franz. And my business account is Franz Games, so I, you know, announce things like, oh, you know, the latest Warlord game, or, you know, what's happening with SFB Online or FedCom Online. You know, those things do happen on there. And it's very low bandwidth, so you don't get buried in those things from those accounts. So feel free to follow them. Also, just a reminder that this lovely Talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB from this week, which is basically no news. They got snowed in one day, but that's about all the news they had for us this week. I'm sure they're continuing the work on FedCom gunboats attack, which is going to be kind of interesting. I think of the three that they were thinking about doing, I think that's the middle ground. It's my second choice. I'm going to be honest. But I still going to be happy to see it, happy to buy it, happy to play it. And, of course, ADB has multiple things that, you know, available for free, from first missions. That's basically an introduction into the Federation Commander. Also, if you want to, they do have the Cadet Training Manual, which is also available free. Usually it's free from the e-tailers. You can call it's you just have to get an account with that e-tailer, download it, and it's available for completely free. It costs you absolutely nothing whatsoever. Of course, that's the ebook edition. I'm not sure if they sell the hard copy edition anymore, to be honest, when it comes to the Cadet Training Manual. I have a hard copy, but that's an old copy. But moving onward and forward, when it comes to the SFB Online Tournament, the Sapphire Crown 2, that's actually has been started. And so that's going to be interesting to see how that all turns out. When it comes to online client stuff, I still did a little more work on the HTTP-based server stuff. It's further along. There's still things that need to be accomplished when it comes to that, but it will be out the door. I'm also, when I release that version, I'm not sure if I'll have the server available the first time, but I'll definitely have other fixes available as part of that release. Moving onward to the library report. Before the library report, actually, Starfleet Warlord, we actually have a new game that just started this week. So if you are into Starfleet Warlord and you are listening to me, which would be possibly one, you might already be part of the Facebook group, so you'd know about this, which is we just started this past week. If you want to, you can sign up. You can join that game in the next couple weeks, because we're going 1 week turns. So like we do that for the first 10 turns. That's what we do these days to get a quick start, a kickstart to start the whole process. This week's going to be kind of crazy because I got three games to process in one night. So that's going to be kind of crazy. But anyway, so if you want to join us, feel free. Also, when it comes to the library report, nothing updated from when it comes to the SAB portion. When the FinCom portion, again, no updates there. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it means that's the one and only Paul Friends welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. Yes, I only have one hand this time because of, in the other hand, I've got a cat. Yes, see, little kitty here, who is all cuddling and so forth. And the question is, how long did my Zindi co-host will be with me tonight? If he's nice and calm and doesn't move around a lot, well, he'll stick around. If he starts attacking my headphones, then he's gone. Because I need the wires. Come on, really? I have problems enough with them, with the kitties. Yes, you. Chewing on my like my Apple AirPods and any other cables I've got, and all of a sudden I have to replace the cables. Not because the cables have gotten old, it's because the cables have gotten chewed up too much.
Sometimes the cat has been on like a back shelter and jumped all the way onto his shoulder. A young cat.
Mm-hmm.
Erica approves the cat.
I'm sure she does. Because the kitty can be right quick.
She's just walking by and like gave a little heart sign with her hands, going, ah, and now she's gone.
Goofball. But anyhow, time to get onward and forward to the topic for the evening, actually, which is something which Gary actually brought up, which is, he figured it was a good idea. Oops, wrong one. That's what I'm looking for. Okay. that is to go back in history because of we actually had some renewed interest in SFB Online. Sorry, the SFB, the Federation Commander, ADB's products. I'm not sure what has done this, but it has been of interest as of late, which a lot of people have been coming back from the yesteryear. Maybe it's because people are retiring and went, I used to play Starfleet Battles. It's a great game. I loved that. I had a lot of fun. So Gary recommended, why don't we introduce these people that haven't been in the Starfleet universe for years? Because there are a lot of products, a lot of expansions, a lot of modules that they know nothing about. And you are, can you get comfy? Sorry, I'm talking about my cat again. So I figured what I could start off with is something which is relatively simple. Actually, this is probably the second episode of doing this. And I apologize that these are sporadic and not really planned. Invariably, another more pressing topic comes up and I'll hit on that one. But, okay, that's it.
You're going.
Apologize, my cat started to attack my finger, my thumb. He was starting to attack my thumb. And I'll let Jeff to join us in this happy scenario.
Howdy.
Talking about Federation Commander and the beginnings of which. Don't mind me. I am right now going to. There it is. Voila. Okay. Going to. Wow. Well, that's one thing I should keep a copy of them. Starfleet Missions. I'm looking at this. It says Starfleet Missions card game was printed once, is out of stock, and it will not be revised. It's like, okay. So, for those collectors out there, get a copy of Starfleet Missions. I'm not sure. I forget if I still have a copy or I gave a copy to Doug. But I know I had two copies. One actually I got from Sean. Yeah, Sean. He used to be on the podcast a lot many, many years ago. He hasn't been on the podcast for a while, but he sent me a copy of Starfleet Missions, and also I happened to find my copy of Starfleet Missions, which is an interesting game.
Is that the one that came with two decks?
No, I think it came with one deck. The whole idea was that it was Starfleet Mission, that you have a ship, then you're going out for a mission. Now, to be honest, I don't remember all the rules and so forth for Starfleet missions. I just saw it mentioned that, oh, Starfleet missions was printed once and no longer in stock. You know, they didn't produce a revision, and they don't plan on making a revision either. And I can understand that.
Oh, if it didn't make money.
Exactly. If it didn't make money. And the cards were these cardboard cards. You know, not really the good quality cards from like Starfleet Battle Force. Not none like that. So
right.
So I can totally understand why we don't have those. You know, why not can we do it? Because, be honest, I don't think it was that fun of a game. I honestly did not play it, but from my understanding, it wasn't that great of a game overall. Starfleet Battle Force is I like that. I like that game. Now, tough part for me is that Starfleet Battle Force is an okay game. The tough part about Starfleet Battle Force for me is that with Starfleet Battle Force, the cards are beautiful. You know, it's a good, quick game. But I'm used to playing tactical board games, so it's nothing like that. So, you know, it's not as good. But anyway, actually, let me look at see if we have that here. Da, 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 da. There's the Starfleet Marines. This is Starfleet Battles. Yeah, that's all Starfleet Battles. And since we're talking about it, might as well look it up and see if we have any. Okay, I don't see the Starfleet Battle Force mentioned, because that's one of those ones that was produced, and I think they still have copies of the first run of Starfleet Battle Force. Actually, I'm confident in saying that if they may want, there it is, Starfleet Battle Force. This was Starfleet Battle Force, for those who've never heard of it, was actually published. Yeah, Mike, I agree. Mike, in the chat room, was just mentioning how it's a game that was some potential, but never quite got warp speed with me. Basically, it never really caught on to him, and I can understand that. But Starfleet Battle Force was originally published in 2001. They actually, if you looked at, it was actually, in my mind, the more interesting part about Starfleet Battle Force instead of the game itself was the packaging. Because I remember talking to Steve Cole about this product. And that was what?
Ah, yes, the Hubless VHS box.
Right. The different pieces that they put together. To put this together, you know, one is the VH box, because actually they mentioned that the video box in the description, but also finding the little star things, you know, that's used for marking off the damage, you know, finding those, you know, and basically trying to make, because the most expensive portion about the game was, of course, the cards, big surprise, and everything else. So they were trying to make it as cheap as possible to make these items. So they found a video box, which, like, okay, that fits nicely. You know, you can fit the two decks, because you have two decks, into the box. You have enough room for the little small copy of the rules because they're not very large, and then these little star little things. I don't have them with me. If I would have known I was going to talk about Star Wars Battle Force, I would have grabbed my copy.
They're threaded beads, is what they are.
Mm-hmm. And they have a little Ziploc bag of these that they put in the box. And I forget, did they include dice?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so. I thought they.
You need dice for the PF and fighter and so
planet
of the
planet-based fighters. Yeah, planet-based fighters. Yeah, things like that. Yeah.
It's the heritage of the game going back to Avalon Hill's naval war.
Right.
Is very, very strong.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what, Steve Cole mentioned that he kind of stole it from. Now, according to the update page, they had planned a Starfleet Carrier Force, Starfleet Strike Force, Starfleet Invasion Force, and Starfleet Planetary Force. They were never scheduled. Future expansion for Starfleet Battle Force, not on schedule. So... those are the possibilities, but those never came actually into being. Now, if you want to, after you get a copy of the game, you can actually add cards to it because there's a lot of playtest cards on both on the website that you can print out. Now,
a Lyran and Hydran cards pack that they actually produced, although the cards themselves don't have rounded corners.
Right. And they have other ones, I think, for monsters. I thought there was one that might have been a planet. But there's
a planet. There's a star base card, which is oversized, and there's a planetary base card. There's been a number of various PDF style cards they've released over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these are all playtest cards, which they never actually produce an updated product that includes these. So, but the Starfleet Battle Force, as I said, If you're when it comes to Starfleet Battle Force, let's go back, because it was produced in 2001. What's the one thing that was happening in 2001? Magic the Gathering. And Steve Cole, what he was doing was he was producing a product which was juxtaposition to Magic the Gathering. Magic the Gathering, as most people know, Magic the Gathering is a collectible card game, which means...
otherwise referred to as cardboard cocaine.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very nice predatory system that was around for a while before then. It was about 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah, it was... It was loot boxes before loot boxes.
Yeah, yeah. And at that time frame, it was hitting its stride in the convention circuit. Very popular. They were having huge tournaments for big money back then. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
and it's still around today, but I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole personally.
Oh, agreed.
For a variety.
I wouldn't touch it with a 3-hex tractor beam.
It's one of two. One of two games that when I first saw them, I was instantly turned off to them for basically being a predatory kind of system setup thing. And oddly enough, when I was introduced to Magic the Gathering, I was on my way to play a round of SFB with a friend at a rec center at Fort Hood way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, but yeah,
Trying to cash in on the collectible card game genre.
right. It was a juxtaposition for that. Basically, the idea was that you have a card game that you never, ever, ever have to buy another thing. It's self-contained. You don't have to buy more cards to play. You don't have like a starter deck, and then you have to buy more to get the cards you want, and get buy more and buy more and buy more, and just suck you dry. Now, the one thing that did happen because of Magic the Gathering that sucked dry was the board games. A lot of board games that were, which was the thing at that time, got killed. Because of, at that moment in time, as I said, board games was the thing to do. And all of a sudden, these collectible card games come in, and then, whoa, you got Magic the Gathering. Then, of course, after Magic the Gathering came in, you got all of these other card systems that come into play that tries to compete with Magic the Gathering. And what's the biggest issue with that is that who does it hurt? The dealers, the people who are selling the games, because of they buy say,
Yeah.
what because which because is what card system do you buy? Other than Magic the Gathering. Because they're all saying, "Oh, we're gonna beat Magic the Gathering as their own game. We're gonna be more popular. So, you gotta buy our card system." And the problem was with that because of this is pretty much pre-internet. When it comes to when people didn't buy many things on the internet at that point in time, if they bought anything, that those dealers would go out of business. So
Yeah, they'd buy a couple of cases of some unknown system, thinking that they get on the ground floor and buy Bitcoin at $30 a piece, and then come to find out later that the system never found an audience in the local area, and they're stuck with the inventory. There was a number of systems like that, and you're absolutely right. It became pot luck for somebody's like, okay, you can either deal with Wizards of the Coast and deal with a known issue, or you can do everything else. I think the other side of it that really killed the rest of the board gaming is that you could teach somebody how to play Magic the Gathering in the simple form path possible in 15 or 20 minutes, and you could enjoy playing for an hour or two. Whereas with Starfleet Battles, yeah, pretty much have to spend a couple of hours showing them what to do, and then you have to let them see how to play over a weekend before they even get anywhere close to the point where they'll have any fun. And in that regard, I think Starfleet Battle Force was a laudable goal in order to help reduce the bar to entry.
Yep. Well, I agree. I agree. And the thing is, of course, what came after the collectible card games kind of crashed the market? Euro games. A lot more of these games, which were not no longer because really in my mind, before the collectible card game craze, most of the games out there, most of them anyway, were tactical board games. That was the big thing. Whether it was, soldiers, on the ground. Fighting that way, or it was.
Well, there was tactical, like Advanced Squad Leader, and then there was strategic, like most of the things Avalon Hill did.
Right. And then there was just yes, go ahead.
The three big things you have, and I would use Origins as a good example of it, is tapped into the current of the nation at the time, was you had a wide variety of board games in the wargaming side that a common denominator was they were rules intensive, and you really had to be into that particular niche to get into them. And then you had the miniature wargaming, which was a large wing of Origins, actually. And then you had the role players. And One allure of Magic: The Gathering is that it could suck somebody out of any of those, or prevent them from going into it because they get started on that and they just have no interest in anything outside of it, which is kind of sad in a way.
True.
But
True.
that's a whole phenomenon all by itself.
Agreed. Agreed. Now,
In
fortunately,
that time frame.
yes.
One thing about that, in that time frame, is you see a transition from the hardcore grognards who love, like, TSR's Gleam of Bayonet system or any rules-heavy thing like War in Europe or Advanced Squad Leader towards the Euro games over a few years where they're less rules-intensive, which is another, a thing that hurts the board gaming is how it was in and of itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
Sorry, go on.
it makes perfect sense. Yeah, because to me, I was never into RPG, so I played RPG when I was, in, a little bit in college and right out of college. Then I stopped playing RPG, and finally I stopped playing Starfleet Battles because I couldn't. I got tired when it comes to Starfleet Battles, which was I was the guy who called up everybody, and I would try to get it together for everybody. It's, okay, when we meeting, where are we meeting? Who, what, is it at Greg's house? Is it my house? Is it, is it in Jersey? Is it in Pennsylvania? Where is it? But
Spent
anyhow,
all your time and effort organizing and none of it playing.
well, we would play it. And the problem with Greg was a gastroenterologist. That
Oh,
was stomach.
a pretentious windbag.
And
Just
he
kidding,
and the
just
problem is,
kidding.
even when every time we were playing, he was on call. So invariably, what would happen is that he'd get a call, and we start talking about tactics and what we're playing, and so forth. We'd have a good time talking about the game, but we'd stop playing the game.
Yeah.
It's like the point is to be here to play the game. And I can't blame Greg because I know being a doctor is not easy, jeez. The thing is, I gotta look him up one of these days, because it's been so long. I used to go all the way to Bucks County, is where he lived, which was interesting because I still remember leaving his house a couple of times and start driving down the road, and there's a whole herd of deer sitting right in the middle of the road. So I'd just kind of stop and just wait. Anyhow, moving onward and forward. Fortunately, a few years after Starfleet Battle Force came, with the help of Ken Burnside, who was he worked for ADB for a short period of time. Really, really, I love you, but no.
Oh dear, space monster attack.
Yeah, oh, the large zinni.
Warm up the probes.
What kind of probes?
The scientific information gathering probes, of course. We're talking Starfleet battles. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Put his claws right into my knee. That did not feel good. Okay, but anyway.
Need to teach your cat that they're only supposed to eat after 3 days. Yeah, sorry.
And don't let the kitty
Going.
promote to a prime team.
Okay, I will not. What? What are you doing? But anyway. Okay, just stay up here. Goofball. But anyhow, Ken Burnside worked for ADB for a little bit, and before he left and went at Astro Game, he created his own game company at Astra, and created his own game. And I'm not sure how well, honestly, I'm not sure how well his gaming stuff does. If he's meaning, is he living off that, or is it kind of a side hustle like Daniel Cast when it comes to Star Armada? Because Star Armada, I know for Daniel Cast, is a side hustle. He sells the games. He, you know, he gets a profit off selling the games. But
yes, Kitty.
But I know that he has a side gig, and he just like me. Sometimes his that you know, sometimes the day job, which you know, earns the money so he can actually live, pay for food, you know, have a place to live. There's a lot of things like that.
Really?
Can you just find a spot? Excuse me. I'm wrestling with my cat. Just stay still. Okay, but anyway. So.
Oh, the Philanities.
So in 2005, Klingon Border gets published. And this is the first edition.
Yes.
Excuse me for a moment.
I love you, but it's hard to hold you while I'm doing this.
Okay. And that is, it gets published in 2005. It's the first edition of Federation Commander. It has a few cards in it. Obviously, it doesn't support that many weapon systems. You know, it's mainly the core, which is, you know, Federation and Klingon. And according to that, I'm just looking. I thought there was.
In its own way, it was a callback to the original Pocket Edition with the amount of material it gave you to start with.
Yep, agreed. And then soon after that, the next year, they produced Romulan Border, where they actually, you know, obviously, they added the Romulans and the Gorns, the plasma torpedoes, all of that. And finally, they produce Romulan Space. It says here, okay. Now, the Romulan Space was a copy of a Romulan Border, including only items not duplicated in the Klingon Border. The idea is that you'd get Romulan Space if you didn't want to get a duplicate, like duplicate stuff, basically. And Klingon Space, and then that also came the Academy, which is a low cost introductory version of Federation Commander. So this is if you know anything about Federation Commander, currently they have what's called let me look at this for a moment. I apologize. I do not see it. Yeah, I don't see it. Okay. That is I was looking for First Missions. And I don't see First Missions actually specified here in the list. And
because First Missions is the giveaway for them. I think you can download that off of ADB for nothing.
Right. That's what I was wondering, is because you got the Academy version, which is low cost, has, you know, it's available as an ebook, but you still have to purchase it, which has more of the rules than the First Missions. First Missions has very slimmed down version of the rules. I'm mentioning it at the news portion. So if you're only listening to the live, you don't know the news portion. But you know, First Missions is idea is that it gives you an introduction into the Federation Commander, so you can see how the rules are, how the system goes. And I think for anyone who's interested, especially if they're a Starfleet Battles player, that is interested in Federation Commander, get a copy of First Missions. It's free. And that will let you understand how the rules are different than SFB. I'll admit, just like when I played at Gamers of Winter, had that minor issue, of course, that I'm an SFB player playing Federation Commander, which I forget that, oh, you know what? This might be a beautiful, you know, positioning. You're right where you want to be. Problem. You're on subpulse 2, and you got 2 more subpulses to go through before you can actually fire. So it's like, oh, so that totally screws it up. And I still remember that at that moment in time, also, I was out of power, or very low on power. I forget which was, if I was down to two points of power or completely out of power. So I couldn't, like, cancel movement because it costs you movement. Cost you power to cancel movement, which is interesting. The whole idea of canceling movement is weird, because if you really think about it, it makes no sense from purely a logical perspective. Now, I understand why they have it. You have cancel movement in Federation Commander, i.e. the ability just to pay for the cost, the movement cost of that movement, and not move your ship. Totally understand that. From a game balance perspective, it makes sense. But from a normal perspective, if you ever played Starfleet Battles, it makes no sense whatsoever. Where you can act, according to Chris, think, oh, it does make sense. You manipulate the warp field slightly. The idea is that you kind of make it so that you're...
I think the disconnect you're having there, mm-hmm, is that the Starfleet Battles universe was founded around the idea of a plotted movement with quarter turn interfaces where you reset your plot. Federation Commander never had that, because by the time Federation Commander came along, plotted movement was something that was not done by basis of the rules, but was done as an odd entertainment for the people playing, because it was simply too hard to keep up with for most players.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're dealing with the fact that everybody is going free movement, and Federation Commander brings in free power allocation for all intents and purposes, then what you end up with is you have a situation where you've got the power to use, why not use it? Well, just because you're not setting things up the way you want them to do doesn't mean you're not going to be completely inefficient with your power. It's kind of like a jet fighter pulling a subsonic side slip in order to let slip some of their forward velocity rather than overtake somebody.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Chris was mentioning how he wished he could pay a point to cancel hex movement once per turn in SFB. Now, there has been... if you want to make it akin to SFB, that is that's the one thing that was discussed actually in the discussion board, if you're way back many, many years ago. I forget when it was. I'm willing to bet it was like 10 years ago that they were having this discussion, because it was right after FedCom came out, which is the idea of taking some of the rules that were made for Federation Commander and bring them back into SFB. And one of those ideas was actually paying to change your midterm speed plot. But currently, in SFB, when midterm speed plots, you only can increase your speed or stay the same from the previously plotted speed. You can't reduce the number of hexes that you move. Now, that was one of those things that actually was, the whole idea was brought up, because you could still, you know, the whole idea of a midterm speed change, but you'd pay for reducing your speed, which means you would actually have to spend more, spend the same energy that you do for increasing to decreasing. Now, to be honest, as an Andromedan, I would have loved that, because that's another one of those things that that you like to do, to use up those batteries, suck them dry, and have it so that you can then do a panel dump, and voila, nice clean panels. It's a nice thing. Now, moving forward, there was a graduation actually that has a copy of Academy and a copy of Klingon Border. The rulebook was replaced, you know, they had a revision as of, the latest revision was actually 2011 for that. They have the different attacks, the Klingon, the Romulan, the Tholian, and the battleships attacks were released. Now, these were basically additional ships and different additional scenarios for those, for, you know, for Federation Commander. You know, like battleships attack. If you, battleships attack is an interesting module in that until that point, at least I'm pretty sure I got this right, until that point, all the ship cards were very small. Sorry, I'm grabbing one of the cards. I don't have the large ones with me. They're downstairs, but they all were this size. You know, a nice little 6x8. I think it's about right. I think that's the correct size.
It's about like an A5.
A5? Okay. Wasn't exactly sure about the size. This is a Vudar. This is a dreadnought. Interesting. Ooh, 45 power. A few ion cannons, a few phasers, and IPGs, all kinds of fun stuff. Turmo D, 1.5 movement cost, big surprise. And of course, lots of shuttles. And then if you want a really small ship, there's the dreadnought, but that's fleet scale, which is half the cost. And half the weapons, of course.
And twice the hassle. Half the cost and twice the hassle.
Oy, don't get... That's
like
not...
it's like filtered cigarettes. You're sucking twice as hard for half as much.
Yeah, let's not discuss the whole issue with squadron versus...
Oh, sorry, sorry.
But, yeah, and how that didn't work. Which I've already... Anyone who's been on this podcast long enough will know that I've already had that, I've mentioned that multiple times. So
yes, those of us that have experienced the discussion before understand it's one of your major MacGuffins.
Yeah,
of course. At this point, we might as well promote it to Captain or to Colonel MacGuffin.
True, yeah, and they. Hold on. Can you move? Thank you. Uh-oh. He's going to jump on top of my back. Urgh. But now the cat's crawling across my back.
Yes, Chris, that's about what it's good for, is it's to provide the cadet scale game ships.
Yep. Agreed. But there are other ones that came out all the way up to coming to, like, the last release of a product from ADB when it comes to a full product. And I'm not talking about booster packs. It was in 2013, which was reinforcements attack, you know, i.e. mainly just more ships. Because they had transports attack, which is a good thing, because... Transports attack, the one thing to focus on that. Can I help you? I love you, but you know, you make it hard to talk so people can understand me.
Well, yes, you're not paying enough attention to the kitty.
Okay, kitty. I love you. Ah, whoops. Hold it. Don't mind me. Come on. There.
Please stand by while we deal with these technical difficulties.
Yeah. In this case, the cord from the headphones actually got wrapped around his paw. So, you know, most of these were ships all the way through 2013. So for 8 years, ADD was expanding the product. And then, you know, it paused. The next scheduled product actually was Federation Commander Fighters Attack, planned for fall of 2015. And guess what? That didn't happen. And that's fine, you know, because I honestly, and I've said this before, which is I honestly think that Fighters Attack is, not particularly my cup of tea. That's the one thing I really liked about, I like about Federation Commander. There are, I was about to say no fighters. There are some fighters, very limited, mainly to the Hydrants, which, of course, anyone who knows SFB.
If you try to take the fighters away from the Hydrants, it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, agreed. And
it's like trying to take the drones away from the Zenti.
Oh, that won't work at all. Well, in theory, okay, the Hydrants, in theory, you can fight the Hydrants without the fighters. But the thing is, when it comes to that, me. Sorry, Gary. I didn't mean to dish you. How you doing, Gary?
Hello. How's everybody here?
Good. Getting back to my point. In theory, you can have the Hydrants without the fighters, but that leaves out a whole, like, half the fleet of the Hydrants because of you need the Hellbores and the mixed Hellbores fusion ships to actually have a viable ship without the fighters. Usually the fighters, you have a full squadron when it comes to fusion just fusion based ships that have just fusions without Hellbores. Obviously, some of them do have Hellbores, but when it comes to the original. Going back in the time to when the Hydrants first started, the earlier ships there was no Hellbores yet. The Hellbore system had not been invented. They just had the fusion beams. But in addition to the fusion beams, to improve the amount of firepower, they had fighters, and that was how they got along. And that's how they actually were able to fight and attack and so forth. But so, and with those ships, you can't fly those ships without fighters, because you're just reduced when it comes to the amount of BPV that they're actually worth. That was actually the funny part was that I was on Facebook, I think it was last week, but you know, recently, and somebody was playing SFB, and they were playing the heavy battle cruisers, some heavy battle cruisers when it comes to the Klingon. The Federation, and they had this. I was looking at this going, what the heck? Which was they didn't do a heavy battle cruiser for the Hydrant. They had a regular cruiser, and I'm going, BPV wise, that does not make sense. So I'm figuring the person actually had all the fighters for that cruiser, because without that, he was dead. You know, BPV wise, it wasn't going to add up. So to me, that was interesting. And both Chris and I both were not fans of fighters, and the big reason for me that fighters, especially adding them to FedCom, the big issue I have with adding fighters to FedCom is this, and that is, It adds the one thing which most people will find, which to my mind, that makes them unbalancing, which is if you get all these fighters, which can launch all of these drones, all of a sudden you got these ships, you know, the carrier ships become these awful weapons that they launch their fighters, because you could, you know, you can launch one squad per, I think it's per impulse or every other impulse, but a squad is made up to six fighters, if I recall correctly. I'm trying to remember the rules off the top of my head. And so they launch. That's the one thing that I read through the rules that are in the captain's log, or was it the community update? I think that's I forget which. But anyway, I read up on, and there was no, it didn't specify whether the fighters could be at the beginning of the game could actually be pre-launched, you know, and flying outside the ship when at the start of any scenario, or that it needs to be on the ship before the scenario begins, and then they're launched as part of the scenario. I did not see the rules, anything in the rules talking about that at all when it comes to the beginning of the scenario, when it comes to the fighter's location. Now, of course, I have not looked at that when it comes to the shuttles, because in theory, you know, you can actually have shuttles launched in Federation Commander, but my guess is they're always on board. But the fighters are different. They're attack craft. Shuttles are not meant designed to be attack craft. But anyhow, and that, you know, so, and given that also that a number of amount of firepower that the fighters introduce into a Federation Commander, which has no way to deter it, no way to fight it off short of running, or, well, and hopefully you run it out the 3 turns that the drones exist, or 2, phasing them down. There are no wild weasels. There are no T bombs. When it comes to a large flight of drones, it is tremendously hard to knock them down. And that's the one thing that the fighters introduced to FedCom, is these larger waves of drones. Or in the case, you can also have a larger wave of plasma torpedoes, because of course, the Romulans and the Gorons have plasma torpedo armed fighters. But anyway. And of course, one of the things that happened in those years, and actually they even had a new booster pack that they released back in 2020, which was booster pack number 37 and 38, which is basically these booster packs. The whole idea of the booster packs now, I still remember this one, which was booster pack number 91. And Leanna really fussing about that booster pack. The reason being is that booster pack, I think it was booster pack number 191, I think it was 91, was a booster pack which had all unique ships. The whole idea of the booster packs is that you basically, the idea of booster packs was to get more copies of the same ships that you previously owned, and you might get a new ship that you didn't own before. But it was a lot of older of the ships that already were produced, so you just getting duplicates. So it was cheaper to produce those booster packs with the duplicate ships than it is to have the unique ships. So you didn't want to have a booster pack that actually had all unique ships, because it caught that you're, it's costing more to do that. Oi, Iggy. Oh, Iggy. Iggy was saying that he doesn't understand FedCom. It was supposed to be SFB Lite. Why do they keep adding more complexity?
Because the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
That's true.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
To be honest, if how ADB tells it, or says it anyway, FedCom is not supposed to be SFB light. Though, of course, everyone, when it came out, that's what everyone was saying, that it's SFB light. But ADB kept on saying, no, it's not SFB light. But if you look at it, it kind of is. In my mind, it is SFB light, in that the idea is to reduce the number of rules. And all those explicits that were in SFB rules made them in. The idea was to write the rules so they were implicit. So logically, you could come to the same conclusion as all the explicit rules that were written into SFB. Which is fine. You know, and I think it works out quite well, and I'm glad a lot of the stuff they reduce when it comes to the rules for the weapon system, and some of the weapon systems definitely they simplify the weapon systems. Do I think? Do I think that some of the weapon systems got kind of nerfed? Yeah. And of course, then we have things like the ESG. ESG was not nerfed, it was transformed. The ESG, when it comes to FedCom, is not the ESG of SFB.
Yeah, and a lot of SFB Laren players see the Federation Commander rules for it and start whining.
Agreed. Chris. Was that Doug?
Not everybody takes the neutering well.
So. Oh, understood. I'm still. I'm. How many years has it been now since they came out with the Captain's Edition? Because that was like 99, correct?
Captain's Edition of Starfleet Battles was like 92.
92, that old. So it's 91, only roughly. So it's only been 30 years that
You're
I've been
talking 30.
Yeah, that means the 30 years.
I remember buying basic Captains in 1992 with money I made from a side job at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember going into a store to buy a copy of the SFB, and all of a sudden I see the Captain's Edition. Like, Captain's Edition? Whoa! I bought the box edition of the Captain's Edition. It's like, oh, cool. To be honest, I don't remember what store it was. It was some store in some mall. That's all I remember about that whole incident.
Well, I should point out, I mentioned this sometime in the previous podcast, but page on the ADB website will be update list, mm-hmm. which basically tells you every year that a certain printing or reprinting or revision has been done for a rule book or for a module or a product.
Yep.
And it says that the Captain's Edition of Basic Set was first printed in 1990, and then it was revised in 94, 99, and then the SFB book was revised in 2000. And then there was another revision in 2011, and then the rule book itself was revised in 2012 to match the new the Silver Anniversary Master Rulebook that was released that same year.
Yeah.
But actually, just one thing is I guess I only came in because when you were in the middle of talking about the hydrants, but just a couple of things. One is there's certain empires that I think, you know, it's reasonable for them to have a casual carrier doctrine as part of their identity in the game system. Like, for example, the Soldra. They can't work without the black shards to use as vampire for vampirism against enemy ships.
Oh, understood.
The hivers are dependent on their barb fighters and so forth. So, and actually, even for the hydrants, it's worth bearing in mind that when the SF when the AS, when the ADB went back to the three early years modules, it's worth noting that the W and Y era Hydran ships have no fighters. They simply have regular ships, and they either use Nova cannons, which are basically the Nova cannons, basically kind of like the prototype of the early years prototype of the fusion beam.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a handful of ships in module Y2 and Y3 which are giving a weapon called the Hellgun, which is like an early prototype of the Hellblower, but I believe it doesn't have the 360 degree damage that it does. So, but also the weapon was lost for the most part after the first conquest of the Hydran homeworld. So there's basically different ways. And actually, if you go jump forward to the era of X ships, yes, the Hydrans do have Stinger X's, but they also do have a number of ships that are light on fighters. And also, because of the way that the X pulse phaser and the limited Aegis work, the X Aegis works, so that fighters are less useful against other X ships. But of course, they are useful against the Andromedans. So there's like a difference in terms of like what the fighters are going to be used for. But if, when it comes to Federation Commander, it's worth bearing in mind that, you know, we're getting the Gundults first. And I'm fairly certain that the Gundults are going to be added to quote-unquote vanilla FedCom. So they're going to be basically part of the default set of ships and rules and empires that everyone can play and use if they wish. And X-ships, well, they haven't said for sure, but I suspect it'll probably be the same thing as in SFB, where if both players agree to play a game in that time period, then they can have X-ships. So it's basically you're not springing an X-ship on somebody that doesn't already have it. Because right. This is the interesting thing, because remember, Fed Commander very strictly blocks, like breaks up the different timeline compared to SFB. So you don't have, like, for example, in SFB, you might have a transition period between the middle years and the general war, where maybe three or four ships in the squadron might have a refit, but then the refit's not universal. And then maybe only one or two of the ships have another kind of, like, you know, capacitor for the ESG or something like that, whatever. Whereas in Fed Commander, it's like, nope, you either play in the early years or you play in the middle years or you play in the modern era. Or presumably when the X-ships come out, you'll play in the era of, I guess they'd call it the Andromedan War era or so on. And similarly, when X2 comes out, there'll be a sim sort of thing. But then when it comes to fighters attack, it's quite possible that they might leave non-Hydran, or I suppose for the Omega Project, non-Hydra or Shouldra carriers. They might basically do it, like, they might say, okay, A, you can only have one at a time, and B, they might make them Borders of Madness, in the sense that they'd be strictly optional. So no player would be able to basically put down a, like, say if they make the Federation Strike Carrier, whatever they put on the table, like, basically both sides would have to agree to use it. So the actual ability of these units to kind of, like, take over the game system would be relatively limited. And, I mean, there's precedent for that in SFB as well, because, like, in the Lesser Magellanic Cloud, only one of the three LMC empires uses fighters. And the very strict rule saying that you can only have one carrier on board. And the carriers themselves are limited to the number of squadrons they take. And so, yes, the carriers can throw out a lot of firepower, but by the time they're doing that, their homeworlds have been conquered, and they need that firepower to try to keep the Andromedans from, you know, erasing them from existence. So the actual, they're not affecting the domestic wars that the LMC empires are fighting before the Andromedans came. So in terms of the balance factor, it's like, it's managed to a greater extent, if that makes sense. So, because it's actually interesting to know, because even in SFB, the fighters that they have in the LMC all have a dog rating of zero, because none of them were designed to fight each other. They were designed to be launch platforms or mass drivers to shoot out Andromedans. So, what was it? Yeah, so basically, when it comes to Fed Commander, I agree with the idea of putting most carriers into Bordas and Badness territory. Now, I wouldn't be too much bothered about, like, say, for example, the Federation Light Carrier, like the modified Galactic Survey Cruiser that has six F-18s. I think maybe allowing a player to take one of those to basically play the Darwin scenario, I don't think that would be the end of the world. But then, of course, you'd have to have this card for the Devastator Battleship to try and to chase after it. But when it comes to regular Fed Commander play, I think we're still quite a way away. We have at least two additional products, because I suspect that X-Ships will be after gunboats, and then fighters will be after that. There'll be plenty of time between then now and then to have state these kind of, you know, play test these ships and have these arguments played, because yes, the swarm and squad flight rules that are in Communique 127 or whatever it is, I mean, they're not the final rules, but I don't think it would be wise to make sure that they actually don't try to take over the game system, because no one wants that. I mean, maybe the most rabid Cincy player might want to have their drones take over the game system, but I mean, that's already a problem, like in the general war era, because they have so many more, you know, drone launching ships than everyone else. So, but I don't know if it's worth panicking, reaching panic stations just yet, and I also don't believe that it's necessarily fair to treat a Fed commander as being less than because they took away wild weasels and G bombs and stuff, because I don't know if we're there yet in terms of, like, seeing whether or not, you know, panic stations need to be reached in terms of the full propagation of fighters attack whenever that actually happens. So, again, maybe it's because, I mean, for me, I guess I'm more personally invested in Fed Commander. Not to say that I'm not invested in SNAP Free Battles as well, but I'm very much of the faith, of the view that FC is very much deserves to be treated on its own terms. And if you try to play FedCom like SFB Light, your ships will get blown up, because, you know, even just the things like the shield reinforcement and paying twice to fly backwards and so on, like some of the basic mechanics of the game, and also the fact that you're limited in terms of the impulses that you can fire on, because you still have 32 movement soul pulses, but you only have 8 opportunities to fire within them. Whereas in SFB, you can be more, I guess, Mizia-y in terms of, like,
granular.
How you're basically, yeah, granular. Like even for things like the way the PPD works, because, like, the PPD in Starfleet Battles is engineered with the SFB firing system in mind, so that you've got, like, you know, pulse 1, pulse 2, pulse 3, pulse 4, and so on. Whereas Fed Commander, by necessity, had to change that, basically turn the PPD into a sledgehammer rather than a sandpaper. But, you know, there's other pluses and minuses and so forth that feed into that. So, but actually, I will say one other thing, because, again, I don't want to take too much time up here, but I actually think that some of the FC-isms for certain SFB weapons would make interesting variant firing modes for Module X2. So, for example, I think it'd be really interesting if, say, Liren X2 ships, in addition to the standard, quote-unquote, standard ESG, if they so choose, could do a burst mode, and the burst mode basically works the same as in Fed Commander. Because if you think about it, the weapon is called an expanding sphere generator. But in SFB, it's a hollow sphere generator. But in FC, it actually is, the sphere is expanding from the ship. Like, it's attacking everything that's in the same hex, and then it goes on to the six adjacent hexes. So I'm not saying to take away the firing modes that exist, or the operation modes that exist in SFB. But what I'm saying is that I think it's not a terrible idea. It might not be a terrible idea to raid the cookie jar in terms of new and additional tricks that could help make X2 and SFB something unique. And that has the benefit of mainly us being that when Fed Commander gets X2 chips, they don't need to reinvent the wheel, because those systems already work that way.
Understood. I agree that, you know, that FedCom actually, you know, bring some of the stuff back into SFB could introduce different ways of thinking about things, different modes. You know, for example, you know, second generation X ships might have the rule that, you know, was so eschewed like 10 years ago, to actually be able to slow down using power. You know, the mid-term speed change and using your power to actually slow down your ship, which I think would be a great additional thing that could be just for second generation X ships. And the same thing for some of the weapons modes that, you know, that are in FedCom, introducing those as part of second generation X ship weapons. You know, if they're going to stick with the same kind of weapons, obviously there's still some systems that are probably going to be modified or added or something as part of second generation. Now, obviously, I know that ADB has their own ideas on what they're going to do, and so anything we say here, they, you know, doesn't really matter much. But I can see them doing those kind of things when it comes to second generation exceptions. Now, when it comes to the fighters, well, we'll just have to wait and see on the fighters because of course, one reason I bring up the fighters and the issue with fighters is my battle group I had to fight, I'm fighting against a bunch of fighters. They were allowed into the battle group, and as an Andromedan, I had to figure out a way of fighting against them and have it so that I still survive. So basically, most of that, the tactics for, you know, yes, for the double nickel, Captain's Log. How's it going? I don't know. But anyway, when it comes to that scenario, most of my phasers were just going to be sitting there and plowing down any drones that got launched. That was going to be the main focus. I had no choice. So.
Well, I mean, you can still evasive maneuver and to get closer, and also, in certain circumstances, I should say, but the fighters are only as good as the carriers that they're based on, and you still have plenty, a fair number of TRs, lights, so you could basically, you know, in the first pass, concentrate on destroying the carrier, so then they can't reload those drones once they're launched, because bear in mind as well that FC does not allow drone transfer control, because that's one of the big things for seeking weapons in SFB.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, it's not even just for drones, but like we were talking about the Paravians last year. It's weird to say last year. But like the quantum wave torpedo, it's a self-guided seeking weapon, but it has no ECCM. So if you're fighting the Orion pirates, the Orions basically get their default stealth coding benefits against unguided quantum wave torpedoes, on top of whatever EW the Orion puts in. So there's a logic to a Paravian anti-pirate ship maintaining the seeking control, but so that they can basically loan the torpedoes, the ship's ECCM.
Yeah, so the quantum wave torpedo gets the benefit of the ship's EW.
Yeah, but the quantum wave torpedoes are allowed to receive the same way that you can do the same thing with plasma torpedoes, but there's less of an onus with plasma torpedoes because plasma torpedoes have built-in ECCM, whereas the quantum wave torpedoes don't. So, but that's also a thing that they're missing in Fed Commanders. So, like a Paravian, the preview rules are quantum wave torpedoes. Like, they're basically, they'll just have to make do against Orion ships with their stealth coding in terms of, because there's not really the concept of ECCM there. So, and also, I don't believe that it's actually been said one way or the other whether or not carrier escorts can reload fighters in FC, because when escorts were brought into Fed Commander, they were pretty much divorced from their carriers. So in a sense, they're more like Omega escorts, because most Omega empires developed escorts independent. Like, they basically would use them as like squadron support ships, not least because with the exception of the Drex, most Omega Empires didn't develop any form of Aegis until the Y190s. So it was only really like the Federal Republic that stuck to the Alpha Octant standard of keeping your escort close to your carrier. But so in a sense, like, because the main thing for Alpha, said Fed Commander, is that when carriers or when escorts were introduced, the version of Aegis fire control that they were given basically allowed them to, assist with the defensive fire of a ship within its radius,
right?
If it was being targeted by seeking weapons. So, it was not, because even for the Hydrans, I don't believe that a Hydran carrier, a Hydran escort rather, is actually able to take another ship's. Actually, I'm trying to think now, because the Hydrans are a unique case, because I guess when you think about it, a Stinger, because it's an energy-based weapon, a fusion beam, maybe it could be armed by another ship. But, you know, anyway, so that's, well, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that, let's say it's a few years from now, and Fighter's Attack is being released as a product, and somebody has a Federation strike carrier or whatever, and they happen to have a Federation escort ship as well. I wouldn't be surprised if the rules by then made it clear that the escorts cannot take that fighter into its shuttle bay and reload its drones. So that there is basically subtracting some of the flexibility that the SFB escort version of that escort has, because they're designed to basically two separate things, if that makes sense. So, I kind of like, you know, there's probably going to be more like nuance that can be cooked into the game system, like into the rules rather, to try to mitigate some of these issues and so on. So, but I mean, I'm not saying not to discuss it. I'm just saying that it's good to maybe post it in the BBS, beyond the BBS, but just try to bear in mind that there's probably going to be a ways to go before we get there. So hopefully things will improve, especially with ADB, with the medical situation, like with SPP and everyone on the team, to make sure that they all survive and succeed, and that you know, things are in a position where, because the other thing as well is that even now, you know, there's various, like, over the last few months, like in the time that the FC and SFB battle groups were posted up, the pace of operations at ADB is still not quite 100% as it was before things happened. Mm-hmm. So, else, because I mean, like, you know, it's, but that's actually what I raise interesting questions when it comes to when Captain Claw, because in the before time, that there would usually be like a 3 or 4 week, you know, rush, like a development period, where many things would be done all at once to try to get the Captain's Log issue done. But we'll have to see what that's going to look like going forward. So, because maybe it'll be more of an extended product. Again, I don't want to sound like I'm speculating unfairly, because it's not my place to. But so I kind of, yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely time, but to try and get some playtesting in, because I think if playtesting reports do come up, do basically generate the kind of like data to say, you know, there's still too many drones on the table, even with the swarm and flight rules, and even with a limited number of carriers on either side, that might basically help make the case more for tweaking or adjusting things, or, you know, scaling things back and so forth, in terms of like maybe keeping it in borders of madness, or limiting the number of carriers that are allowed on either side, that sort of thing. So, but yeah, I mean, because the other thing too is that like, even for Gunboats Attack, we're getting the gunboats, but we're not getting the gunboat tenders. So there's going to be no Sparrowhawk E. There's going to be no, I guess, Klingon D5P, or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
it's not necessarily like the gunboats themselves. They're really basically casual boats. And so it might be a while, but they talked about maybe in booster packs or something, we might get a few of the mission variants. But it's not going to be the same thing as it is in SFB, even for those. So if you look forward in the future...
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if we see maybe an ionic charge build up in Federation Commander gunboats.
Well, there's that too, because they've taken out more booster packs. But the other thing is, the other thing too is, I don't think we're going to see things like space control ships or stellar domination ships.
Right.
For that matter, we're probably not going to see heavy carriers. So you're not going to see the Federation plumping down a carrier with 24 fighters on it, or with, because we're definitely not going to see things like F-14s or F-111s, because the F-111 is not going to be showing up. They're going to give the Federation the Thunderbolt PF set.
Right, the number of fighters is going to be very limited on a per Empire basis. At least that's the feeling I got from the reading of the rules.
The number of, so it's basically, it's not just a case of the fighters themselves being slimmed down. It's also about the platforms, i.e. the carriers, that are bringing them to the tabletop are going to be significantly scaled back. Which is for the good, I should say, because I wouldn't necessarily, I would very much be wary of seeing a large number of carriers showing up. Unless it's for the hypers or the soldier, maybe. Although, I will say, I have absolutely no idea, Bill, how to think, because like in SFB, the soldier vampirism works by consuming the souls of, or the life energy of crew units. And since there are no crew units in Fed Commander, how is that going to work? Like, how are the soldier going to function with Black Shark vampirism? So that's something that doesn't need to be worried about maybe for another 20 years, maybe 15 years or so. But
we need to learn to crawl before you worry about marathons.
Yeah, but I feel that in the broader sense of things, I wouldn't want people to lose track of the fact that, FC, yes, it has its issues, but by and large, it's a robust game system. And again, I'm trying not to sound like I'm shilling for ADP here, but I mean, we're on a podcast for SFB on call. Like, the gunboats look like they're going to function well. Although, of course, I think that is what people should be playtesting now. You know, get a hold of Captain Zog 54 and maybe try a few of the sample ship cards that are already up, or even wait till the PDF comes out, because it's probably not going to be a printed product for a long time. Try the Gunboats Attack PDF when it comes out. Try the rules, play test them, post your reports, see how well they function, and really get a feel for those. That, I think, is basically a good way to see how things are going forward. And then, hopefully, once that's a success, then look at the X-chips into the game system. And of course, as we say, the X-chips are by default going to have a built-in limitation in terms of time period, because, if you're not playing a game before 2581, then you're not going to see any. So, or rather, in the quote-unquote X-chip era.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyone who sticks with middle years or early general war, FedCom, doesn't have to feel threatened by the presence of X-chips. But anyone who does want to try out the X-chips, then they're there to have, they'll be there to have fun with. And so once, we get to the fighters attack thing, then not only will we be able to get a better sense of how well or not these drone issues are popping up, but we'll have a better sense of the context that those drones and those fighters are coming in, because if both sides have gunboats available, and if both sides have X-ships available, then suddenly shooting down drones, it seems like less of an issue. Not least because even X-ships are not going to be getting Type 7 drones from SFB. They're getting Type 1 drones that only goes plus those V-32. So they're going to be much less dangerous drones than their SFB counterparts. And, in theory, you could basically say, all right, well, maybe gunboats, because, gunboats were a good anti-fighter measure in SFB, but especially because there's lots of phaser variants. So you could basically say, all right, well, if the standard Gunbolt Attack product does well, then can we please have a variant, a product, a booster pack with phaser variants, and keep those phaser variants in your back pocket, so that if somebody shows up with a like a Klingon D7V, they just say, "All right, well, here's here's a six phaser Gunbolt. So good luck getting your drones through then." You know? And then basically spend your scenario trying to kill the carrier. So, you know, I mean, there's plenty of playtesting to be done. So
Agreed.
I guess I wouldn't reach panic stations too quickly.
No, I'm not panicking. And it's just that if the rules stay the way they are currently are, that is my major concern. You know, because and again, you know, it's purely from the experience of creating a tactics report for my battle group against a Klingon carrier, and you know, and then the multiple, you know, Klingon ships that are gonna be there, and the way I figured the scenario was gonna go mainly is that the carrier was gonna be in the back. It's gonna be like a hex or two hexes back from the main group of the Klingons. So any time I want to actually attack the carrier, I have to go through the rest of the fleet to get to it. And that's why the one thing that I was hoping to do, and hopefully successfully do, is using the one and only displacement device that I have in all the ships that are there to actually attack, you know, to displace the carrier, move it away from the rest of the battle group, so I can basically focus it as my point of attack, you know. So instead of focusing on somebody else, you know, then do that. And I've fortunately, given the number of ships that I have, I have a good chance of, I'm gonna lose quite a few ships. I'm gonna be going through it, and it's gonna knock me out. But I think I have a good chance of winning overall at the end of the scenario. But anyhow, it's late. It's almost 11 o'clock, and I need to get up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. So I have to get up in 6 hours. So I need.
Oh Lord, we've kept you long. Maybe we got to starting these sooner.
No. What happened is Gary got here late and started talking, and that's what ran us long. But anyhow, with that, we'll wrap it up. Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Gary, you have a good night.
All right.
Thank you.
Doug, always a pleasure having you around. I will be seeing you on Sunday. So you have a good night.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, see you then.
Jeff, stay safe out there. No driving off the side of the road, please.
All right.
Okay, see ya. So, talked about a little bit about some of the Federation Commander history, and actually some Starfleet Battle Force history too. Well, while we're at it, I didn't expect to do that, but I think that was actually a good place to start the evening, and that was actually quite delightful. And then we got to talk a little more about Federation Commander, not just some of the history, but also some of the products and some things that are coming up. You know, the fighters attack, then of course gunboats attack. It's going to be interesting to see how that all works out. And the X-ships, of course, the big thing with Federation Commander, which Gary did not mention, which basically is that one of the goals of Federation Commander is to get rid of a lot of, when it comes to those SFB ships, the variants, the partial variants, the partial refits, all that, so that each ship, as it stands, has all the refits that were available. So that was a way that ADB simplified those ships. It was just that, okay, all refits apply. Boom. And so you have one ship. Now you still have variants, you know, but you don't have all the partial refits and all that kind of thing, which is beautiful for Starfleet battles. It gives you quite, you know, in my mind, a more realistic view of a fleet. Because depending upon where those ships were in, you know, when it comes to getting the, you know, what they've been doing and all that, you know, they might have partial refits. They might have some might have refits, some of them don't. You know, that is one of those parts of SFB that I like, that kind of quote, you know, quote unquote realism. I say quote unquote, I quote that just because of it's a sci-fi game. You know, it's based on a sci-fi, which, you know, that's not really real. So anyhow, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.